Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed...
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome again to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I am the tech editor here at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as he often does on these occasions when I have to speak into this microphone, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
Howdy, y'all.
Nice. And we are going to talk today about being productive.
Something we know a lot about. Here at HowStuffWorks.com, we produce lots of things. Blogs, podcasts, articles, BS, you name it, we produce it. But we don't tend to use online productivity software, which is really what we wanted to talk about today. In fact, we have to thank our guest producer, Tyler. We call him guest producer because we never know who's going to produce our shows. He's the one who actually came up with the title for this one. About online productivity software. How can I be productive online? Well, there are a lot of companies out there that have provided tools to do that, and it's really marking a shift in computing. Back in, the traditional route would be to have this kind of software natively on your machine, and you would use it there and save all your work there. We're starting to see all that shift over to the cloud. And so, it's one of those applications, cloud computing applications, it's really easy to point to and say, hey, this is what we mean when we talk about cloud computing.
Yes. If you're not familiar with the term cloud computing, you probably haven't been listening to our podcasts very often because we talk about it quite frequently. Cloud computing is sort of a relatively new thing that's really gone on over the past few years, or at least not new outright. I would say adopted more often than it had been in the past because it's been made popular by high-speed internet connections. Rather than using your computer's hard drive to store applications and files, this can all be done now on a server in some location. In fact, often frequently backed up. So there are many, many copies of the applications and files that you would normally keep on your hard drive out there in what they call the cloud.
And you probably make use of some of these sort of applications already. Things like email. There are a lot of web-based email applications out there. We're talking about things like Hotmail, Yahoo, mm-hmm. Gmail. Mm-hmm. In a way, you can think of those as cloud computing because those messages are, they live, if you will, on a server that could be hundreds or thousands of miles away from you. But you're able to access them through a browser. So the browser's acting as your user interface, but you're really tapping into messages that are quite a ways away.
Yes, and that's the funny thing about the productivity software that we're going to talk about in just a moment here. Unlike email and services like Dropbox, Box.net, those that serve as a cloud storage device, This is the kind of thing that you're going to notice a lot more easily because rather than opening up an icon on your desktop, you're going to go and do everything really through your web browser.
Mm-hmm.
So where you whereas you might do your word processing in a separate program from the program that you would use for your spreadsheets, now you're just doing everything in Internet Explorer or Mozilla Firefox or Google Chrome. In some cases, Safari.
Yeah, if you're the poor, unfortunate soul using Safari.
Safari hater. So let's get started. How did all of this really take off? I mean, it's not something that just happened with the dawn of the new decade.
No. Well, first of all, you got to look at traditional productivity software. When we're talking productivity software, we're talking about a specific kind of suite of applications that people usually within office environments rely upon on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm.
So things like document word processing programs, spreadsheet programs, presentation programs, mm-hmm. Sometimes some other like file management systems, things like that. That's really what we're looking at here. And as we said before, most of the time back in the late 80s, early 90s, these were programs that existed on your computer. Everything existed there. If you wanted to send someone something from your computer, you essentially created a copy of it mm-hmm. and sent it to them. So then that you would have two copies of the same document out. That's going to be important later on when we get into collaboration.
Yes.
But that's kind of the model that everyone was used to. Cloud computing moves all of these over into the cloud. These applications, like Chris said, are hosted on other machines, and you can access these applications through your browser. In some cases, you may also have to download and install a tool on your desktop to be able to access and interface with these applications. Not all of them are solely cloud computing applications.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are kind of hybrids.
Right.
But in general, everything you access and save and rely upon is going to be on other machines that you can tap into at any time. How it came about is, well, it's kind of a gradual evolution, really. One of the earliest, I would say, you can argue that there were tons of different ones that came out before this,
mm-hmm.
but one of the ones that really kind of made a big splash as far as online productivity software goes, it was Google Docs and Spreadsheets, which eventually just became Google Docs.
Right.
Now, part of that is just because it had the name Google behind it. Anything that has the name Google behind it has a certain amount of momentum already because, I mean, it's an enormous company,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Another part is that Google did what it does really well in that they look out for other applications, other companies out there that do something really well that they want to do, and then they go out and buy them.
Yes.
So I know there are a lot of other companies that did the whole cloud online productivity software stuff before Google did, but most of those got bought by Google or ended up dying out because of Google.
And in some cases, were bought out by competitors.
That's true.
The one that really, I think, kicked it off for Google was Writely.
Yeah.
Which was an acclaimed word processor, online-only word processor. And at the time, which was, I would say, in the mid-90s, probably around 90. Mid-2000s, early 2000s, when it first came out. I apologize for that. You know, people were talking about this because it was sort of a new concept. People were really entrenched with the Microsoft Office suite, and this did online cloud word processing very, very well. It was an awesome tool, and then Google acquired it, and people were talking about what Google was going to do with it. Well, it wasn't long after that that they added the spreadsheet application to make it, they started calling it, as the media will, a Microsoft Office killer.
Right. Which you may have noticed that Microsoft Office has not been killed yet, despite some legal setbacks, which I guess we can talk about in a minute, too, because we may see more of a focus put toward online productivity software simply because of some legal issues that Microsoft is currently facing with the whole Word situation.
Sure.
I can get into that a little bit later. Yeah, that's a good point. And it also was what changed Google Docs to Google Docs and Spreadsheets,
yes,
which meant that people started calling it Google Docs and Spreadsheets.
I do have a spreadsheet that includes many small dogs. Some of them are dachshunds.
They are long dogs,
yes,
though they are small.
Get along, little doggy.
That's right. Yes. So anyway, the wiener dogs. But eventually Google dropped the spreadsheets bit, so now it's just Google Docs, even though it does contain applications for both, not just both, I'm sorry, applications for word processing, spreadsheets, and presentations.
Well, they acquired other companies, too, to fill out the portfolio. And,
that's right.
Including, Zenter and Tonic Systems. And really, when you think about it, when you look back up and look at the whole Google Docs picture, they really have everything you will need to the business tools that you need, because they've got Gmail for email. You've got your calendar. Mm-hmm. You've got word processing, presentation software. You've got your spreadsheets. You've also got other tools, too, like Google Wave. So it really does all these different pieces, some of which were acquired, some of which were built in-house, you know. They're very helpful to work with people collaboratively. And that's one of the unique things that Google brings to the table, is the collaboration aspect.
Right. Well, it used to be unique. I would argue that there are a lot of other online productivity software suites out there now that are building their entire marketing strategy behind the collaborative nature of online computing. So when we're talking about collaborative, like I said before, when you were working on a document that was on a native word processing application on your computer, and you wanted someone else to look at it, you might send them in an email or whatever, but they would get a copy of your document.
Mm-hmm.
The original would still sit on your computer. Now, what if that person were to look at that document, make changes, and then send it back to you? Well, there are a couple different ways you could incorporate those changes within your own document. You could just accept the new document as the new master, and you get rid of the old one. You could compare the two and then make changes on a change-by-change basis. But it was just kind of a clunky way of handling it, especially if you were doing a collaborative effort with multiple people. Now you're looking at four or five different versions of the same document circulating out there, and then maybe coming back totally changed from what you started with. And then it gets really kind of complex. Well, the nice thing about Google Docs and some other online productivity software out there, Office Live does this.
Mm-hmm. Office Live.
Yes, Microsoft Office Live. Mm-hmm. So Microsoft is in this game too, folks.
Mm-hmm.
Zoho does this. ThinkFree does this. There are a lot of different online productivity software suites that allow online collaboration. Well, in this case, everyone's working from the same master document. It exists in a certain account, and the person who owns that account, who created that document, can designate who and who cannot, who can and who cannot access that document.
Right.
And in some cases, you might have multiple levels of access. It might be these people can read the document, but they can't make any changes. Or these people can make changes, but they can't invite anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might ultimately get to, okay, well, this person can make changes, can approve changes, and can also invite new people to participate within the collaboration.
Yes.
So when you do this, when people make the changes, it goes to the master document. Everyone can see the changes. And most of them have a way of being able to review over time what changes have been made. Google Docs,
yes,
in particular, makes this pretty easy, where you can, if you created a document and then five other people have been working on it and you haven't looked at it in a couple of days, it can get really confusing when you're looking at it, like, okay, well, who made what change? When did it happen? Do I really, that one paragraph I liked is gone now. Do I want to try and bring it back? If I do, you know, when did it go away?
Yeah.
You can actually review the series of changes and see where that happened and decide whether or not it makes sense to reincorporate that text.
And one of the neat things, that Google added to its Google Docs that made a few headlines when they did was the ability to work on, for more than one person to work on the same document at the same time. Mm-hmm. And Google Docs would be able to, keep track of what was going on, in both instances. So rather than having to lock someone else out, say, okay, well, Bob needs to work on this. Bob's checked it out. No one else can touch it until Bob checks it back into the system. Which is a nice way of handling it. But this is even more elegant because it can identify what each person does to the document, and therefore no one's losing anything. And, you know, the stuff that you just spent half an hour on doesn't get overwritten simply because the system can't handle multiple people making changes to it at the same time, which is very, very nice.
Right. Another issue you may think about when we're talking about online productivity software is what happens if you don't have an internet connection.
Mm-hmm.
So there are going to be times where that happens, where you're not going to have access. Maybe you're on a flight that doesn't have Wi-Fi yet.
Yep.
Or maybe you're just in an area of, you know, town where you have no access.
Maybe the truck down the street hit the fiber optic connection and there it goes.
Maybe your neighbors finally got wise and actually put a password on their Wi-Fi.
There's that
too. I'm just saying it happens.
It's true.
So what do you do then? Do you just say, oh, well, I guess I have to wait till I get back in the office before I can work on this? Well, mm-hmm. most of these solutions have incorporated some form of synchronization software where you can work on a document offline. And you can make changes to it, you can save it, and then when you reconnect to the internet, it will automatically incorporate those changes within the document online. Now, of course, this could also cause some issues, because what if you have multiple people working offline and then they all reconnect? And I think ultimately you have to have some sort of document management hierarchy in place where perhaps the person who created the document ultimately makes the decision of which changes go in and which ones don't,
mm-hmm.
because then it gets a little complex. If you were to have maybe four or five people working on something now, and that I don't think that necessarily happens that often. Perhaps you have a group of consultants working on a project, or maybe you've got several reporters all working on, say, a school paper, working on it within Google Docs, perhaps. Then I could see where that might cause problems. But in most cases, that's going to be kept to a minimum. And like I said, it's Google Docs. They did this with Google Gears. That was their Google Labs thing where mm-hmm. you could actually access a lot of functionality on Google within their productivity suite, just even if you weren't connected. But other ones do it too. Office Live has their version, and Zoho. And so everyone's kind of come up with their own solution to this problem mm-hmm. so that, you know, you don't feel like, well, if I lose internet, does that mean I lose my ability to work on whatever I was working on?
Yeah. Yeah. It's true enough. So, there are lots and lots of, things you can do. I mean, I can think of four or five, in particular, whole suites of, applications. Most of them managed by big companies. Like,
uh-huh.
of course, there's Google Docs. There's
yep.
Microsoft Office Live.
Yep.
Another one we talked about just now, we haven't really gotten into in depth, was Zoho, which yes. is independent.
And they have an amazing array of online productivity software.
Yes, yes. It's all
huge.
Kinds of tools, notebook, contact manager, all kinds of
they have
great
a,
stuff.
A business group mm-hmm. Application, which actually groups the most common applications together into a single user interface. And they have plans on eventually allowing third parties to submit applications to their business groups application
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
so that let's say that, you know, you could really use a special kind of a news reader that isn't in this. And it's almost like replacing your desktop.
Yeah.
Now, as far as I can tell, they haven't implemented any third party apps yet, but it's something that's in the plans. And it's the nice thing about Zoho, and actually for most of these online productivity software solutions, it's free for people to use if they're mm-hmm. using it on an individual basis.
Yes.
It's only when you get into organizations like companies or, you know, nonprofit organizations or whatever that you have to start looking at a subscription policy. Mm-hmm. And then that's when Zoho's like, all right, well, if you're going to use it as an enterprise thing, then you're going to need to pay a certain fee per year to right. access all of this. And then, you know, you might get some extra little perks that the free users don't necessarily have access to.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, I'm sort of digressing for a second. I feel like this kind of software, the basic productivity software is just something that people expect to see now as part of their computer suite. You know, you have your yeah. operating system, you have email, you have the web browser, and you have something that'll let you write a letter to somebody and, you know, do some basic productivity type work. And I think that's why these programs are coming down. You know, it's possible, you know, Microsoft is also offering, less expensive, like a home version of Office now where it hadn't before.
Yeah,
you had to fork over quite a bit of cash before if you wanted the whole Office suite.
Right. And we should point out also that in general, these online, applications tend to be a little, they don't have all the features and bells and whistles that you'll find in a desktop application.
Not really.
Not all of them. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you were to go back to your desk and open up Microsoft Word on your desk, mm-hmm. you would have access to way more functions that you're going to get than if you access the online version.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't necessarily mean these are vital functions. They may be functions that you never use. Maybe that all the ones that you have come to depend upon are fully covered within the online version. Mm-hmm. But if you're a power user, if you're someone who's using like those really obscure functions that no one else in the world ever uses, then moving to an online software, environment may not be the best choice.
Yep.
But I mean, that whole thing is improving anyway on online. I mean, you're seeing like these suites get more and more functionality as time goes on, and we yeah. would expect to see that. So, and again, I think a lot of these companies are really starting to put their weight behind their online presence and kind of take the focus away from the hardware stuff because mm-hmm. look at what's selling. You got netbooks that are selling really well.
Sure.
And now you've got smartbooks coming out. These are devices that are not necessarily capable of running these applications natively.
Right.
Like especially things for presentations that can take up a lot of memory, depending on how complex it is. But by putting it on the web, suddenly you don't need a powerful machine to build these presentations because it's doing all the work for you.
And you don't need the hard drive space in order to host the applications either.
Yeah, that's a good point. Google Docs, for an example, gives you a gigabyte of free storage. In fact, mm-hmm. they've opened it up now where you can, if you have a Google Docs account, you have a gigabyte of free storage that you can put anything in. It doesn't have to be a Google Doc mm-hmm. to or, you know, spreadsheet or presentation or whatever for it to go into there. Now, granted, it can't, each individual file has to be 250 megabytes or smaller.
Yes.
But you can put up to a gigabyte for free mm-hmm. in there. And if you want more, then you can purchase more gigabytes for about a quarter a gigabyte per year.
Mm-hmm.
It was, we took a look and it was $5 for 20 gigabytes for a full year. $5.
That's impressive.
$5, you got 20 gigabytes of online storage.
Mm-hmm.
Office Live, they give you 5 gigabytes of storage
mm-hmm.
with an Office Live account. So,
yes.
Which, you know, is just like having any other kind of live account. So that's free to sign that up too. So yeah. There's online storage has gotten to the point where you're essentially the message they're sending is storage is cheap.
It is. It is cheap.
Now, you have to worry about how secure it is and how accessible it is.
Yep.
Because if something happens with either of those services, like if you're a Microsoft customer and they have a problem with their servers, you may not be able to access your files. Just like if you were
That's right.
a Google customer. That's happened a couple times in the past year where Google services kind of took a little dive briefly and people freaked out because they couldn't access their Gmail or Google Docs.
Well, they're on machines and machines break.
Yes.
So
and they
happen.
Are vulnerable to hacking attacks. Now, mm-hmm. In general, these companies put a lot of money into keeping their applications secure and the data
yes.
secure.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they're also huge targets.
Mm-hmm.
So they may be more secure than your native company. Let's say that your native company has got, maybe 150 employees total.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's a much smaller company than something like Microsoft or Google. orders of magnitude smaller, really.
Absolutely.
And so let's say that your company's security isn't anywhere near Google's security or Microsoft's security, but at the same time, you're under the radar.
Yeah.
You know, you're not going to be a huge target for hackers like Microsoft or Google. So that's something that companies and individuals have to take into consideration.
Mm-hmm.
We recently saw an issue where in another country, people had their information compromised because hackers attacked Google.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, it was just account information. It wasn't specific things like documents or emails. But, I mean, that's something to keep in mind whenever you're moving to an online model.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to mention, too, some of the other productivity software out there.
Sure.
One that's really neat and another that came from an acquisition is – and it's kind of under the radar, too, is Adobe's suite,
mm-hmm.
Which, as far as I could tell, started with the acquisition of Buzzword, which was a Flash-based word processing program, and absolutely beautiful. Here again, this is an example of a program that's sort of limited in features. When they first acquired it, Adobe didn't have a whole lot of features. You were limited to what you could do with it, but it was absolutely fantastic to look at. And I went back to look for the purposes of research. And they've added a tables program and a presentations program and the ability to create PDFs without having to own a copy of Acrobat Pro, which is very nice.
That is nice.
But there are other bits and pieces out there, companies who offer productivity software that isn't an entire suite. Coming to mind off the top of my head was 37 Signals. If you've ever heard of Basecamp, the project management software. They also have a client tracker called HiRise Backpack, which is, helps you organize and coordinate projects with other people, and Campfire, which allows you to chat with other people that you work with. These are really useful for startups and small companies that are, using the internet to work with one another. You know, people who meet at a conference, for example, and one of them lives in San Francisco, the other in New York. They can use tools like this to share documents back and forth. Very, very highly regarded. And there are others. You know, iWork.com is Apple's sort of shadowy, not really shadowy. I mean, it's public knowledge that it's out there. But people are speculating that iWork will be more than just a way to share iWork documents between different people in the future. They've been ramping up on the data center space.
Yeah.
So there's speculation that Apple might get into this space as well. And all kinds of other stuff.
There's
too.
A lot of photo editing software and video editing software out there that's also online. And I was going to mention very briefly, I think this would be a good way to close, that Chris and I have worked a little bit on Google Wave.
Yes.
Which in a way, you can kind of see Google Wave being an attempt to create what will be the next generation of collaborative software, where you can build documents, you can have an instant message conversation between two people, you can kind of email. It sort of does all of these things all in one. The problem is right now it's still in preview mode. It's not even in beta.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with it that it shouldn't be in beta yet because there's just not enough functionality there. Right now,
and suddenly your contacts disappear without notice.
Yeah, well, it's more than just being buggy. It's just that there's not enough focus yet.
Yeah,
I think it's an amazing tool that doesn't have enough focus. So right now, it's more confusing than useful. Most people, when they get Wave, the first thing they think is awesome. I've got Google Wave, and the second thing they think is how the hell am I supposed to use this thing? I mean, and then like the third or fourth thing they think is, hey, don't I have a Google Wave account? Because if you're, it's so confusing to the average user that I think most people quickly abandon it. But I think that could be kind of a glimpse at what we will see online collaborative software. I think that's where it's going to be moving in the future.
Yeah, and I feel like I'd be remiss because I just thought of this as we were talking about a very unusual suite of cloud computing software because it's not the typical productivity software that you would think of. But I was thinking of Aviary.
Right. It's
when you were talking about how there are other ways to other types of image editing software, Aviary is strictly where Adobe offers a version of Photoshop online as a cloud computing piece of software. Aviary is strictly For the creative types, there's a color chooser. There is an image editor, a vector illustrator. They've even offered a sound editing program, very much like you might see in GarageBand, where mm-hmm. you can edit tracks. Mm-hmm. And it's free to get started with it. But there are certain things that become available to you. The idea is it's sort of a social media project too, because you can share tracks with other people and images with other people. But if you want to keep your stuff private, you have to be a paid account holder.
Right. So it's kind of a different model. If you don't mind everything you create being immediately appropriated by everybody else, go ahead.
But it's fantastic stuff though. I've played around with it some, and you're going, how do they make these tools available to you in a web browser?
Yeah, it's pretty cool stuff. Well, and we're seeing more and more a move toward having a web browser-based operating system. The Google yep. Chrome OS is going to be that. So clearly these sorts of services will be necessary in order to make those machines that are running that kind of operating system mm-hmm. a useful machine. Otherwise, you've just got, you know, a bunch of chips that don't really do anything. Well, I think this was a really good conversation yeah. on productivity software. I mean, again, it sounds like it's kind of a dry topic, but this is for a lot of our listeners, you guys who are in middle school and high school in particular, this is the sort of stuff that's probably going to be affecting you as you enter the workforce. A lot of these software suites are probably going to be things that companies start to rely on more heavily in the future, especially new companies. Mm-hmm. Older companies tend to hang on to older software longer because it's just they've got so much stuff invested in that. But for newer companies, I think this is one of those things we're going to see a lot more of. We're going to see more people kind of move to this online approach. So keep your eyes open. Get a little familiar with them. Most of them have the availability for you to have a free account. And
or at least a trial.
Yeah.
You know, with limited features.
Even for things like study groups and stuff, mm-hmm. I think it's really, really handy. Absolutely. Take a look at it, because this stuff is this will be important later on. Trust me. I know. I was in that world for 7 years, and then I was free. So if any of you have any questions, comments, suggestions, anything like that, send us an email. Our email address is techstuff@howstuffworks.com. Chris and I are going to get a little productive here and try and work on our next podcast. So we'll talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of home ownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.